So as I was saying, I'm also going to be talking about filament oscillations, although at a very different scale than what we've been hearing from some of the previous people. I'm going to report on... Oh, it's not working. Okay, can you hear me better now? I'm standing there with my hand like this the whole time. So I'm going to be reporting on, observations and initial modeling done by our team here of a filament. And of course, waves are interesting for a number of different reasons. This particular study is more focused on waves as diagnostics of really understanding what the physical conditions are and the prominence that we're looking at. And we've got an interesting set of observations because unlike some of the other things we've heard from the corona, we actually do have some magnetic field information and we're folding that into our analysis. So first I'm going to talk about our sort of unusually complete set of observations in that we do have magnetic field information as well as information actually of the motions. And then I'll talk about our initial model of the wave as a fast magnetosonic wave moving perpendicular to the magnetic field in a prominence. Okay, so these the observations were taken last fall as part of a campaign with Hinode and Tamis and Sac Peak. So from Hinode, we have plane of the sky motions for this wave. Tamis in the Canary Islands, some of you may be familiar with it, we have full Stokes polarimetry, which gives us magnetic field information. Sac Peak, we have information about Doppler velocities. And then, of course, we have Estio and Stereo, which give us useful context information. Okay, so starting off with that context information, this prominence we're looking at is a large quiescent prominence. It's quite high up there, but it's not about to erupt or anything. It's in between a couple of active regions. And the main features are this sort of very large pillar, which basically we're thinking of as a very large barb. And then material streaming more horizontally on either side out away from it. And this prominence is actually a bit behind the limb, as you can see from the stereo image here. This is from stereo A, which is back on the far side of the sun at this point. So I'm just going to take this off and hold it. So the pink line here is the limb of the sun as seen from Earth, and this is our filament, and this especially is that really large barb feature right here. So you can see that it's about a day behind the limb at this point, so a good 10, 15 degrees. So we're not really seeing the base of this feature, although we do have some general feeling of morphology based on what it was looking like in previous days. Okay, so here is the much smaller field of view that we get with Hinode. We're basically seeing that large barb feature right in here like this, and here's where you get the streaming away from that horizontally. And the Tamis data, to show you the field of view of that, is right here. The Hinode, of course, is fairly high time resolution. We can think we get a couple of images a minute. But this Tamis is not. This is data that takes over an hour to obtain this entire frame. So we're not seeing like individual changes of the magnetic field over the course of the oscillations. So it's sort of a general context for the magnetic field. And the data is actually taken in these 15 arc second wide strips. So we have these little gaps in the data. That's what those are. And this data isn't taken at exactly the same time as the Hinode data we're showing. So it doesn't line up quite perfectly. Okay, so on to the actual oscillations now. This is a close-up of that barb, and you can see it's made up of lots of little sort of horizontal with respect to the limb features here, and they're constantly moving. And we see a lot of these wave pulses that are usually moving more or less vertically, but often with some diagonal component. You can see a really nice one right here. You see that coming up, but they're all over the place here. And a lot of them are going up. Sometimes you see some going down. You get the impression there might be some that are bouncing off and coming back down or going along the line of sight anyway. So there's both directions of motion. And so this is going on we observe this for 4 hours, and it's going on for the entire time. So our question is, what can we find out about these wave pulses and what they tell us about conditions in the prominence? This is also interesting. This is Sac Peak. where we actually got some Doppler information, and we found that there were Doppler shifts associated with the peaks of those wave pulses. And here, dark is redshifted, and so we see some redshifts here of 10 kilometers a second or more. Okay, so analyzing these wave properties, what we did with the Hinode data is we took a number of strips in different places where we saw the wave pulses. Here you can see, for instance, these plots are actually relevant to this one shown with red here. So we just took the intensity between the two red lines. You can plot that as a function of distance and time, and you see these little diagonal streaks here that correspond to the upwards moving pulses. You can measure the slopes of those and figure out the speeds and also, of course, the wavelength. We found the speeds generally be about 10 kilometers per second. The other ones we looked at might be 5. Wavelength about 2,000 kilometers. Of course, this is all in the plane of the sky. That's important. And then we could analyze the period at any given time. And this is a wavelet diagram showing where the best signal was for period. And in this case, we found a period about 277 seconds, obviously with an uncertainty of about 50. But that varied with the different ones we looked at. So periods between about 200 and a bit over 300 seconds. Okay. Now talking about our magnetic field data, as I mentioned before, each of these scans takes over an hour to do, and here we flipped it. So now we have, of course, the limb of the sun is downwards. So we have full spectrometry, and what's in general done to figure out what that is says for magnetic field is for each individual pixel, the Stokes parameters are compared to a large model database of what you would expect if, at that particular pixel, you just had one value for magnetic field and scattering angle. And they find the best match for that. And from that, we get the full magnetic field vector for each of those points. So the magnetic field strength, I'll show you in the next plot, we're getting things like between 5 and 10 Gauss. And if this color table came out pretty well. In general, the magnetic field inclination, it's coming out about 90 degrees. Essentially, we're talking about something that has horizontal magnetic field. And the azimuth, maybe about 30 degrees from the plane of the sky, which all kind of fits with our general idea of what this prominence looks like from the data. So here are, again, the magnetic field derived from the Timmies data. For just a small section, it corresponds to one of the slits that I was showing. So again, we have magnetic field strength between 5 and 10 Gauss, essentially horizontal field, and again, azimuthal, not too far from the plane of the sky, let's say 30 degrees or so. So here's our basic cartoon of what this is, and it's just a sort of a classic cool stuff in the dips type prominence. So on the left, this is just what we think we're seeing, not of this necessarily entire bar, but it seems to be made out of lots of structures like this, where we have essentially a bunch of layer dips like this, and then the cool material just settles in the bottoms of the dips, and we're measuring the magnetic field in this location. Of course, it could be different in some other place, but we're looking at helium-1 emission, so it's got to be from the cool stuff. And this would be a front view. A side view might not be quite just a vertical column. It might actually be slanted in some way. That's consistent with what we know about barbs. They're not generally just pure vertical thing. They're often inclined. So that's certainly possible. And then we're basically saying, we think, okay, it looks like we've got some sort of wave that are moving up and down these structures. Okay. So that's essentially our model. And this is a pretty simple model, but it's our first step. And what we're assuming is these are essentially compression waves, and we're modeling them as linear, fast, magnetosonic waves. So we just have a velocity that's a function of the Alfvénin sound speeds. And in our model, we just have a uniform vertical prominence slab, and that's situated in the corona. We're using a magnetic field, which is derived from the data, 7.5 Gauss, and then we're just driving it with basically a 5-minute pulses at the bottom, going perpendicular to the magnetic field. So here's what that looks like. The red color is pressure, the arrows are velocity. And there's just those three pulses right at the beginning, and then you get this nice This is the prominence in here, the central part. And this is, so this is the corona out here. So just here's the beginning again, and we'll just, we get these nice pulses at the start, and then we get a nice wave train going upwards. Okay? So if we do this, that wave train has a period of 300 seconds, which is the driving time. And then we get speeds which are, and wavelengths which are higher than the ones we measure from Hinode, but basically they're within the idea that we have something that isn't necessarily, in a plane of a sky we might see 10 kilometers per second, but in this model we're getting say 23 kilometers per second, and a wavelength might actually be twice what we're actually seeing in the plane of a sky. So this would suggest that what we're seeing is actually inclined away from us, which again is consistent with what we know about barbs, and also that this is on the far side of the solar limb. And it also fits with the Doppler information to some extent, because we're not looking at something that's optically thin in these Doppler observations. So if you had a compression wave, then the side near is what you would tend to see in the Doppler data. So you might tend to see redshifts if this thing was tilted away from you. So that suggests that we have something that's inclined away from us. In addition, there's a density dependence there. So if we have these particular wavelengths speeds and wavelengths, then in order to get a density that's at all reasonable, say in this case, this is still a bit high, but say 5 × 10^11, we would need this to be fairly inclined, like say only 30 degrees from the line of sight. So that's maybe more than we'd expect, and the density might be a bit higher. But this is a fairly simple model, as I said, it's sort of a first attempt. So I think we're in the right ballpark, but there might be things to be done that could be improved with that. Okay, so that's our conclusions. I think we have a really nice data set that gives us a well-characterized wave. It's consistent more or less with our linear fast magnetosonic wave model. Although the inclination's a bit low and the density might be a little high, they're still pretty close. We are working on some more sophisticated models, trying to improve, make our model more realistic and see what happens with that. Possible causes, we don't think that this is necessarily something that's like, you get these really big filament oscillations, like for instance, Hyman was showing, you have a flare or something, but something like this, it's small scale, it's there for the whole 4 hours, it's probably something that's more ubiquitous, just like these waves seem to be there the whole time, so perhaps the 5-minute photospheric oscillation is connected, or reconnection at the base of the prominence, which might relate to spicules or something like that. So, thank you.
How linear or nonlinear are these waves? Because you showed some Doppler motions that would get the delta V, and then you've estimated what the magnetosonic speed is. So is that 1% or 10%?
Right. So, basically, as an initial step, we're saying they're linear because that's an easy calculation. In fact, Leon sitting in front of you is working on a nonlinear version of this calculation. So we're looking into that. But they certainly might actually be nonlinear. I can't. Not really.
I guess in a way this echoes Steve's question. You said the field of the wave was a few gauss and the background field was 7?
We're just saying that what we're using for the magnetic field is about 7. We're not making a distinction between the background field and the...
Oh, because that would also, if the wave and background field were comparable, it's going to be really nonlinear.
Mm-hmm.
Because the stuff I've seen about this is the waves will then filament and cause flows when that happens. Also, the oscillations you showed, I'm not sure about the tempo resolution, but they look like sawteeth in one of your line outs.
You mean...
Not sinusoidal, but they look like sawteeth.
Well, I was showing something where you're seeing the pulses going up like this, and so you're seeing them go by a particular location in the space. And so what you're seeing is just a bunch of pulses going up. And so you're going to see a sawtooth if each one is going at the same velocity. So I think that might be what you're describing.
Beautiful observations, Terry, and good start at the theory, too. Those horizontal striations certainly seem to be consistent with support in horizontal magnetic fields in a barb, and that's obviously been very controversial over the years. But I was wondering, often you also see flows in barbs. Do you have any flows in your...
In this particular case, I mean, there are flows not in a barb, but in that other area you'd say was the spine.
Yes, horizontal, yeah.
But, I mean, you basically saw the movie, and this one, it's not clear that we're seeing flows in the plane. We just are sort of seeing these wave pulses.
Yeah, because some people have suggested you get these counter flows and quite complex flows within barbs.
Right, and I've been trying to think if some way these waves could give you something that looked like that from the right point of view, but I haven't really drawn any conclusions about that.